This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry, bringing to you the Short Talk Bulletin, published monthly by the Masonic Service Association of North America since 1923. Volume 47, number 1, from January of 1969. Arise and fear no danger. Written by Most Worshipful Brother A. Douglas Smith, past Grand Master of Virginia. Over the years, eloquent speakers have told and retold the life story of George Washington. Therefore, here we must be in some measure repetitive. What challenge, then, may I lift from the life and words of our immortal friend and brother, whose birthday we commemorate, which would be significant to us in facing the problems and frustrations of this period? Let us survey for a moment some of the situations which have given all thoughtful Americans grave concern more recently. We've seen pictures and read reports of anarchy in many of our metropolitan centers. We've heard treasonable utterances by those in high places in our government. We have observed an utter disregard by large segments of our population for the rights of others. We have learned that many of our young people engage in permissiveness and resort to the use of drugs of various sorts. We're appalled that an ever-increasing number of get-something-for-nothing folks are being bred in every strata of our society. We've listened patiently to the explanation for this trend by the so-called experts, and then have seriously wondered if the underlying cause is not to be associated with the summary announcement that God is dead. It appears that far too many Americans have given credence to this report, and have so conducted themselves, in the apparent belief that to do otherwise would place them in the questionable category of being old-fashioned squares. Let us give heed to Washington. Quote, "I am sure there never was a people who had more reason to acknowledge a divine interposition in their affairs than those of the United States, and I should be pained to believe that they have forgotten that agency, which was manifested so often during our revolution, or that they failed to consider the omnipotence of the God which is alone able to protect them." And on another occasion, "The hand of Providence has been so conspicuous in all this that he must be worse than an infidel which lacks faith, and more than wicked that has not gratitude enough to acknowledge his obligations." Let us ask ourselves the question, do those whose trust is in God flaunt the laws of their cities, states, and nation, flagrantly disavow their loyalty to their national principles, destroy life and property as if setting off old-fashioned fireworks on the 4th of July, burn draft cards, hold love-ins, sit-ins, stand-ins, and all other types of inns, except the most important inn, trust inn? Or has the ageless profession of our people, "In God we trust," also become outdated? Here again, Washington speaks to this question. Quote, "Where is the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligation deserts the oaths which are the instruments of investigation in the courts of justice? And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." End of quote. Fortunately, we have some leadership at the national level which is showing concern for the moral and spiritual deficiency of our time. Our distinguished and dedicated friend and brother, J. Edgar Hoover, in a recent published article entitled "Punishments of Heaven Threaten U.S., wrote in part, quote, "Do Americans of today know enough, and are they morally sound enough to continue the great experiment which the Founding Fathers launched so long ago? Only the verdict of history can determine the answer. I am hopeful, This nation has encountered real difficulty only when it has strayed from its spiritual beginnings. I can never forget the warning of an ambassador returning to his home in the Far East after many years in America. He urged, "Never forget, Americans, that yours is a spiritual country." Then, after commenting upon our creative ability in all fields, the ambassador continued, "But underlying everything else is the fact that America began as a God-loving, God-fearing, God-worshipping people, knowing that there is a spark of the divine in each one of us. It is this respect for the dignity of the human spirit which makes America invincible. May it always endure. May God keep you always, and may you always keep God." End of quote. Lately, we have seemed to place our trust in superior armament, grants in aid, diplomacy, and economic pressures, both domestic and foreign. And yet, it doesn't take a statesman or a prophet to indicate that we as a nation and a people are losing a worldwide battle for self-respect and national loyalty. In truth, the world picture has changed since the 18th century, as have attitudes toward life, leadership, and basic values, aye, even of the measure of victory. But should we not honestly confess that many of our present-day deficiencies are accountable to a lack of a sincere, virile faith in something, in someone higher than ourselves? Those famous moments of Washington's in the attitude of prayer at Valley Forge have recently been preserved for posterity in a magnificent bronze sculpture, the gift of the Right Worshipful Grand Lodge of Pennsylvania to the Freedom Foundation located at Valley Forge. When I first saw the picture and read the story of this glorious occasion, I felt the urge to suggest an inscription which might be appropriate. It would be a paraphrase of one of the great passages in our Virginia ritual. "Your trust being in God, your faith is well founded. Arise and fear no danger." There knelt Washington in the snow, his heart aching, the cause for which he labored apparently lost. He had tried everything and then turned to God again. What happened during those moments between the general and his Lord will ever remain a matter of conjecture. What happened thereafter is a matter of history. He did arise. He did fearlessly lead his ragged army to victory. He did guide the destinies of an infant republic against what seemed to be insurmountable odds. Can anyone seriously believe that his deep and abiding faith in God was not a major factor? "Arise and fear no danger," maybe was not part of the Virginia ritual of the 18th century, but the spirit of that command has always been. It seems that somewhere close at hand is the challenge which our brother would throw at us today. He not only believed in something and somebody, but he believed in his cause as being of divine origin, and he dedicated his life and means to that cause. Yes, he prayed, and then he arose and offered his all, that his prayer might become a reality. This attitude was undoubtedly the foundation of his greatness. Too many of us today pray, "Thy will be done, if it suits my convenience. God give us victory, if it doesn't affect my family and its comforts. God give us economic security, if it doesn't cost me too much in taxes. God give us good government, but don't expect me to serve on juries, pay my taxes, vote on election day when hunting is good, or serve in public office." Surely, many of us pray from time to time, but do we arise and do something about it? Should we not accept this challenge from the life of Washington, get old-fashioned, if you please, for a while, and as a nation, take a trip back to God? The future of Masonry depends on you. And as an attendant challenge, what have you done for Masonry today? In the light of our remarks, we might paraphrase, The future of our country depends on you, Master Mason, and your kind. What have you done for your country today? I cannot serve Masonry's best interests unless I am at the same time serving the best interests of my country. As a nation, we find ourselves in an age of power, wherein we have invented the means of placing ourselves in orbit about the Earth and safely returning, to land instruments and receive intricate reports from the moon, to conquer diseases which were scourges of earlier generations, to successfully transplant vital organs from one body to another, to create a computer which can solve in a matter of minutes involved problems which would take a stadium full of expert mathematicians a lifetime to do. All, yes, all of this power. And yet we're devoid of the ability to live together in peace, to abolish war, intolerance, misunderstandings between races, creeds, and varying economic groups. Does not the example of the faith of our forefather provide us a clue to the answer to our enigma? Does not the ancient charge of God to do justly and love mercy, or as translated into Christian ethics, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself, indicate a course for the lives of us who are concerned enough to do something about our present dilemma? Indeed, we do have a divine gift available to us, which must be shared with others in order to become a useful instrument. In the minds of some, this type of thinking may be as unmodern as a horse and buggy, but I submit that it is yet true and applicable to our times. Though we have no desire to portray George Washington as a boy evangelist, it is an historic fact that he did support the church of his choice and encouraged those about him to do likewise and live uprightly. There are many records of his public confessions of his faith. We would not forget that as he took the oath as president upon the Bible of New York's St. John's Lodge No. 1, he volunteered the prayer at its close, "So help me God," which I believe we yet use with some fear and trepidation that it may be outlawed with other old-fashioned traditions. Meaningful to me was a part of his general orders published at Yorktown after the surrender. Quote, "Divine services shall be performed tomorrow, in the different brigades and divisions. The Commander-in-Chief recommends all the troops that are not upon duty to assist at it with serious deportment and that sensibility of heart which the recollection of the surprising and particular interposition of Providence in our favor claims." It has been said that one of the two factors in the success of the American Revolution was the character of our leader. As one man has phrased it, the American Revolution succeeded because Washington lived. 19 years ago, I stood between the sarcophagi of our beloved friend and his devoted wife at Mount Vernon, and there intoned his last great message of faith, "I die hard, but I am not afraid to go," said to have been his last words. I would reaffirm a part of my message that day. We come not to commemorate the death, but to glorify the spirit which never died. Washington had a faith in people as against things, and in God rather than armament. This made him great. What then would be the message of his life for our day, unless it be that we return to his simple, virile faith, the only time-tested and ever-reliable answer to the problems of men? Indeed, faith is the answer. In my mind's eye is the picture of a figure kneeling in the snows of Valley Forge, and it seems to say to me, "If your trust is in God, your faith is well-founded." Arise, Americans! Arise, Masons! Face the problems and frustrations on the morrow. Strive onward and upward, and fear no danger. May we join in the following prayer, said to have been written by Washington in 1783. Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that thou wilt keep the United States in thy holy protection, that thou wilt incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, and to entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justly, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, and without a humble imitation of whose example in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry, and this has been the Short Talk Bulletin podcast, brought to you by the Masonic Service Association of North America for the purpose of supporting the worthy goals of disaster relief campaigns, hospital visitation, and the spread of Masonic information and knowledge. If you agree with supporting these worthy goals, please donate, and thank you.